The Maria Sanchez Show, a conversation, not a confrontation. On MariaSanchezShow.com.
Hi, this is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Jennifer McLaughlin with us. She's the editor-in-chief of LA Travel Magazine. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time. We want to hear about the magazine and also about the event that you've got coming up. So we look forward to the conversation.
Thank you, Maria. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us the origins of LA Travel Magazine first, please, and then I'd like to get into some of the details of just what does it mean to be an editor-in-chief?
Okay, well, the magazine has been around since 2008 online. Last August, it was turned into a print version inclusion as well. And so we are just circling about a full year of print. We are quarterly, so we come out every season. And the next issue that's about to launch on August 1st is the Endless Summer issue. And that'll be our fourth publication.
So it's interesting that you went from electronic to paper.
Yes, very not the norm these days.
Uh-huh. And how is it that you worked that out? How did you decide to do electronic? Have you been with the magazine that long?
No, I came on in August as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when we the new company took it over, I came on and I absolutely agreed with the vision. And, you know, for us with travel, people are very visual, as mm-hmm. I'm sure you know, and I'm sure your audience appreciates. You know, you really don't want to always read something online. And you want to see beautiful pictures about luxury travel and the best places to go in the world. And sometimes seeing it online just doesn't do it justice when you have something in your hands that's a little more viable. It speaks to a different culture, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So for us, we really, you know, we're very visual. Myself and the executive editor, Michael, we definitely like the hands-on tools. We love taking it places and, you know, just kind of leaving it and observing people and what they think of the magazine. And we also hear a lot of feedback. And our favorite thing, of course, and we hear pretty often is I actually have booked that exact trip to the T as, you know, the way your writer or yourself wrote it. So wow. That's a huge compliment to us. And we yes. love hearing that. So
tell us, what does goes into an issue since you're quarterly, how do you turn things around and how far is your lead in terms of getting your articles together? Especially when you're talking about travel, you have to involve that.
Yeah.
I mean, the logistics must be tremendous.
Well, at this point, we have 31 writers and a group of photographers that do work for us. And, you know, it's basically all happens in 3 months, which is, very crazy to some people because most people plan a lot farther out. But for us, we definitely want to be more current. We want to be more, you know, ready to go. And things change in the hospitality and the hotel world so fast, even contacts, that, you know, you definitely want to be on top of everything and see really, you know, the most, you know, the hottest and latest and greatest new hotels and resorts that are popping up all over, or at least the, you know, construction and the announcements of those. I mean, we try to let our readers know what's coming before sometimes it's even built. So that's definitely important to us. And the other part of it too is, I don't know if you know a whole lot about the magazine and our demographics, but we only feature about 30% of Southern California staycations and visits within LA. The rest of it is about 70% getting outside domestic and international travel and encouraging Angelenos to really get outside and, you know, venture out into the world of luxury. So as you go through it and as readers go through it, they'll really see, you know, things that they've never seen before, never heard before. You know, we don't take the Condé Nast and Travel and Leisure route where we're sending them to exotic places that are not, you know, somewhere that they really want to save their money and, you know, take their 1 week that maybe they get a vacation a year and go to, you know, a small town in Africa that they've never heard of before. We mm-hmm. want to send them to the most exclusive, luxurious locations because we know it's not easy as Americans to get the time off for one, get away from your family, get away from your job. So when you do go, you want it to be everything and anything that you couldn't have imagined going to, and you want to be full of luxury and really taken care of.
So I would imagine that the trips, as discriminating as you're describing them, must be fairly expensive.
They are, yes. And our average reader is definitely has a higher household income. That is for sure. And the areas that we do, you know, where you can find the magazine are more prestigious, like Beverly Hills and Malibu and Hollywood. So that's definitely. But there's also vacations in there that are not so expensive. That still are luxury, but mm-hmm. on a different level.
Mm-hmm. And so that would also suggest that your readers don't have to be Southern California based.
They don't. No, that's the beauty of it. We do get requests all the time from the East Coast asking us for a subscription of LA Travel, which, you know, always baffles me a little bit, but has so much to the point that we are actually already in development of NYC Travel, and that will be coming out at the end of 2015.
Oh, how exciting.
So yes, that's our next step. And that one will be, you know, ground roots. It never had an online presence before. It never had anything going prior to, you know, the creation. So it will really be starting from scratch on that side of the world.
So how does somebody go about finding a location, making the trip, taking the trip, photographing it, and then writing it? What's that turnaround? Did you say about a month?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they go right away. Sometimes they schedule with me. Most of our writers, you know, send requests the second the launch party happens. And they say, hey, this is my list of ideas. I want to go here, here, and here. We reference them, make sure they're obviously in line with something that we'd recommend to the readers. We all go through an approval process. We look at the resort and make sure that it hasn't been covered before. And then we give the okay. They fly out there or they travel out there and they experience it firsthand. We don't send anybody anywhere that one of our writers has not had the actual opportunity to visit firsthand, because we really feel that that's important. I mean, we've been to some amazing resorts and had horrible service. And so it would be a disservice for us to go back and recommend that resort just because, you know, somebody recommended it to us and it just wasn't what we would expect or wasn't up to par with what we would recommend to people.
And does the resort know that you're coming to cover it? Obviously, with the photographers being around, I would imagine they do.
Most of the time, yes, they do. But let me tell you, we've still had some issues. Sometimes they care that we're there, and they definitely give us a little bit of extra attention, which we, you know, we understand not the average guest is going to receive. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they really could care less that we're there, and they don't acknowledge us, which sometimes we like even better, because we do kind of, you know, sink under the radar. And a lot of times we notice that, you know, a PR contact or a management, you know, presence, they'll know, but a lot of times they don't share with their staff. It's almost, I feel like they may be testing them to see how they do, which is very brave of some resorts at the same time.
I would say, because then that means that the experience can be variable.
Exactly. Exactly. And we do a lot of times, especially in Southern California, we do a lot of under the radar, you know, trips, visits after, you know, we let them know we're coming, we schedule a visit, and then sometimes we'll send somebody back. If we're just not sure about the experience, or if it seems too good to be true, we will mm-hmm. send a second person back to kind of scope out the scene when nobody knows that they're there.
So, Jennifer, if you have an unpleasant experience, do you publish that?
Absolutely not. So what we believe is, if you have nothing to say, don't say it at all. If you have nothing nice to say, and, you know, our job is not to ruin someone's business, but our mm-hmm. job is not going to promote something that we don't believe in. So if we don't have a good experience, we absolutely let them know. Unfortunately, we cannot recommend you, and it is what it is. And we will not write about them. And we will, no matter if they've, you know, bent over backwards to give our writer something special, if that writer came back and said, this is not the resort for our readers, and we were wrong about initially going there, because, you know, we're not perfect. We definitely don't know. The pictures could look beautiful online. People are misled all the time. So that's very important to us, too. If what you're being promised online is not what you get when you get there. Even if they had exceptional customer service, it's still not going to be a place that we're going to recommend.
So what happens if you have a pretty good experience overall, but let's say the food doesn't meet your standards, but the service does, the location does, the staff does, the amenities, the surroundings, the location. What do you do in that situation?
In that type of situation, we would highlight other restaurants and dining within the area. We would not tell them to go, you know, eat at the restaurant on the property if it was not a good experience.
Okay. We'd suggest so you would options. Just avoid saying something.
Absolutely. We would say, you know, rather than dining at the restaurant, try going to, you know, this place. They have exceptional food here. And we'll obviously that's part of our job too. We don't just go to the hotels and resorts. We really go to the area and the destination because we also want to recommend, we don't want somebody, you know, just going somewhere and sitting at a resort the entire time. Some people love that, but most of our readers are very adventurous. They also want to do activities while we're there. So we also recommend, you know, other restaurants as well. And we recommend various activities. And a lot of those, we never let them know we're coming. It's typically only the resorts that we kind of need to work with a little bit, you know, closer. But the destinations and the actual activities offsite, typically we always include some form of outside vendor or place, restaurant, activity, golf course, spa, that kind of thing will typically go offsite, but most of those do not know we're coming.
Now, somebody who's listening probably doesn't understand, well, I shouldn't say that, but travel writing is its own genre. And how does one become a travel writer?
You know, we have some, it's funny that you asked that because when we took this over and we were looking at different writers, because our writers are all over the world. And I personally, I get requests from travel writers almost on a daily basis. I really love your publication. I really want to work for you. You know, we really try to make it work as a team, and we want all of our writers to kind of have that same, you know, with slightly small differences, like that same personality and the same, you know, somebody that can relate or somebody that's relatable to our readers. So as they're reading these stories, they don't just feel like this isn't anything like what I would do. So mm-hmm. We really keep that in mind when we're picking our writers, and some of them have very little experience. And some of them have been doing this since they, you know, got out of college. They've been doing it probably 25, 30 years. So our spectrum is definitely all over the board with, you know, the actual experience. But I would say somebody that's wanting to get into travel writing, it's not a lucrative career. Got to say that as far as the monetary standpoint. Uh-huh. But it is so priceless in the actual things that you get to do and the activities that you get to try that you would probably never in a lifetime try. I mean, things like that are just really priceless. So if you're not motivated by money and you're motivated by seeing the world and trying new experiences and really living, then I would recommend it to anybody.
And in terms, do you pay like per piece, per word, or is that individual based on each person, each writer?
It's individually. Obviously, we have staff writers and then we have freelance contributors. So the freelance contributors, they get paid. Some of them get paid per article, but it definitely varies with experience.
And what does editor-in-chief mean exactly? Like, can you share what a day-to-day experience is for you?
I think jack of all trades is really key to that, because I do everything from, you know, managing our staff to managing and monitoring the advertising sales to obviously editing and putting together and working one-on-one with our creative designer what the magazine will look like. I mean, from the logo to every individual article. I mean, we're really hands-on, Michael and I. So we basically go through every single article with our creative design team, and we all vote on it, and we go back and forth. And there's definitely things we don't agree on all the time. But we also do our own trips. We go out and we have an editor's pick, and we cover certain events. We support and we become media sponsors at certain events. So I definitely handle a lot of that. There's a lot of charity events that happen within LA and even in Southern California that we actually travel out to, and we will cover the event and make sure that they get a lot of exposure. And it's, you know, it's nice for us because we like to be able to give back in a way that, you know, most people can't. So that when there's, you know, a good cause and it makes sense with what we're doing, and it's travel related, of course, or LA based and Southern California related.
And what is your, now you've got an event that we wanted to help you promote. You want to share about the details of that, please?
We do. We actually do this every quarter. So we always do with our upcoming issues. We will not release it to the public until that event has happened. So August 1st is the date for our Endless Summer issue. It's coming out, and nobody will see that issue, and not even our team. Nobody sees it except for myself, our creative director, and Michael, our executive editor. The three of us, that's it. And then it gets released to the public all at once. It's from 8 to 12 on August 1st at the W Hollywood, and it's at the rooftop pool. We have some great entertainment scheduled by the Dancing Fire. So they will do a couple performances live. We have a great DJ. We have a step and repeat so you can get your picture taken, or if you want to take a selfie, you can do that. And of course, there will be a cash bar, and it should be a great night.
And what kind of numbers of people do you have at these events?
We typically, depending on the venue, we range around 250. That's pretty That's pretty standard for our events. And they do sell out, max capacity. So we always like to make sure that if you follow us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is www.LosAngelesTravelMagazine, you can get it on the website. You can get it through our Facebook. You can see it on our Instagram page or Twitter page. So we make sure all of our social media channels have that access point. And you can literally just click on it and say, yes, I'm attending. We put you on the guest list. And once the guest list is closed and we're full and the public has fully committed, then we go back and we close it out.
I see. So it's first come, first serve.
It is first come, first serve.
And anything else you'd like to add, Jennifer? Thank you for your time. This has been fabulous.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. And thanks so much for the call.
You're so very welcome. And I look forward to meeting you on August 1st.
As do I.
Jennifer McLaughlin, editor-in-chief of LA Travel Magazine and .com, and also at LA Travel Mag on Twitter. This is Maria Sanchez. Thank you for listening to the program. And we hope that you're helping to make this world a better place.
Talking, so call Maria. Her show is killer. You won't believe it, darling. There's long time listeners.